Well, this morning we're in for a real treat as we've kicked off our capital giving campaign, as we as a church are starting to think and pray about what the Lord will lay on our heart to give toward this building project. We've called our campaign, "The Time Is Now." We believe God's positioned us to do this now in a unique way, that He's provided in unique ways now. And so last week we talked about how now is the time to pray, or the time is now to pray. This week, Jaden is going to preach to us on the time is now to
grow.
So are you on there?
Test. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I think you're on. You're good.
So
this is funny because that's exactly almost the intro of my sermon today, what I was going to talk about after this. I don't know if you could tell. I know that some people get a little thrown off whenever there's a new preacher up here, so I tried my best to dress up like Chad today. I didn't get the Converse on, but I got the plaid shirt. I told him last night, I said, "Hey, I'm jacking your swag today," and he had to show up wearing the exact same thing. But I guess as I continue my Chad impression, hey, Dale, could you turn me down a little bit? Your singing's beautiful. Yeah, so I'll do that. But as you said, right, the time is now to build. That is the theme of our building campaign, because I wasn't here for it, but before, when the building flooded, the means just weren't there. The time wasn't right. But now we've seen God's faithfulness in providing funds, and providing cheerful givers, providing the people that now, and it only gets more expensive to build a building, now is the time to build. Last week he talked about now is the time to pray. Right now there's an urgency to this, that now is the time to go before God and ask Him for His help, to be guided by Him, to build our relationship with Him through prayer. But really, when you think about it, isn't it always the time to pray? It's always the time to pray. Well, today I'm going to be talking to y'all, and the title of today's message is "Now is the time to grow." But in the same way, isn't it always the time to grow? Isn't it always the time to mature spiritually, to grow up into Christ? And we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. All right, let's read it together. Starting at verse 11, it says, "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the wind, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held in every joint by which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." The first thing that I want you to see out of this is maturity. Why is there an urgency? Why is there a time? Why is the time now to grow? It's because maturity is our mandate, okay? Maturity is our purpose that God gives us for our life. God wants us to grow up. It says here that He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers all for the sake of building up the body, the people of the church, into strong, mature, Christ-like believers. We're going to take each one of these offices one by one. The word for apostle here literally means sent ones. And who he's referring to here, he's referring to the apostles who are specially commissioned by Jesus Christ and sent out. These are the 12 apostles and the apostle Paul. Next, he mentions the prophets. And these were the men in the early church who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they prophetically uttered the oracles of God. They prophesied and shared with the early church what the word of God and what the will of God was for them. This was in a time before we had the New Testament written, in a time before the New Testament was compiled. And so God spoke directly through people by His Holy Spirit through their mouths to the people. And in verse 19 of the second chapter of Ephesians, just earlier in this letter, Paul tells us that the job of the apostles and the prophets was to build the foundation of the church. When you start constructing something, we all know this, you have to start from the ground up. You must first lay the foundation. Before we build our new education out here, we are going to have to start with a foundation. We need to start with a balanced and dependable foundation. But notice this. In a construction project, how many times should you have to lay the foundation? Just once, right? Just once. In the same way, after the foundation of the church was laid by the prophets and the apostles, their offices expired. After the foundation of God's word had been compiled into the Old Testament and the New Testament canon, the office of prophet expired. It's no more. Now the Holy Spirit no longer directly speaks through prophets' mouths, but instead he speaks through the Holy Scriptures to us. Don't get it wrong. God has spoken. He is speaking, but it's all right here in our word, in his word. God's word is everything that God wanted you to have, and it is sufficient for you. You don't need special prophecy from anybody else. No matter how much some will try to come and convince you that they are a modern-day apostle, or they have some special revelation from God for you, they claim to be modern-day prophets, the foundation has been laid. They did their job, and their office has expired. Now it's the evangelist and the pastor's teacher's job to tell the people of God what God has to say to them by using the Word of God. If someone tells you that they are an apostle today, or if they come up to you and they say, I have a prophecy, God gave me a word for you, and I have a prophecy for you, they are a charlatan, and you need to run from them. You need to run to the hills and run straight to your Bible, and I guarantee you, soon enough, you are going to figure out, oh yeah, they probably were making all that up too, if you just look into the Word. But from the very beginning, even though their office has ended, notice this. Their purpose was to build up. It was to equip, to lay the foundation. From the very beginning, it has been God's purpose for his people to grow. Yep. Next, he mentions the evangelists. And these are the people who build the kingdom of God by spreading the good news, right? By winning souls to Christ. Next, after that, he mentions the pastor teachers. And I say pastor teachers because I know in the Bible it says pastors and teachers, but how this is rendered in the original language, it actually is pastor teacher. They're one and the same. They're not two separate offices, two separate kinds of people. They are together. Pastors today are to be pastor teachers. Me and Chad, we're supposed to shepherd the congregation of God. We're supposed to shepherd the people of God, but the means by which we do it is always by teaching the Word of God. It's not by our own wisdom that we've gained. It's not by our own opinions, what we think. But the method, the means by which we pastor is always the Word of God because it's sufficient for that. You want to know what our job is as pastors? That's it right there. It's the shepherd using the Word of God. But you want to know what else is our job description? Everybody read verse 12 with me. Let's read verse 12. It says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. Yeah. If I was a business owner and I hired on a team of people, say I was a CEO and I hired on a CFO, a marketing specialist, a production manager, a warehouse manager, right? And I told them, I said, your job is to maximize our profits. No matter what you do, your job is to maximize our profits. What would that mean the purpose of my business is? It's to make money, right? Now, if God gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teachers, all for the sake of equipping and building up the body until they attain to the unity of faith, right, as it said, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, that means his purpose, guys, his mandate for us, his executive CEO order is for us to grow and mature. Why is the time to mature spiritually? Why is there an urgency to this? Because it is our purpose. First, Colossians 1:28 says this, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. In his second letter, Peter tells us this at the very end. He commands us to do this. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge. Everyone, why should you care? Why should you care about now is the time to grow? Because if you aren't maturing in your faith, you aren't fulfilling your God-given purpose. We should be striving for Christ-likeness and Christian maturity all the time, but for how long should we strive? Is this something that we just attain and just get to a certain point and then just stop? Let's read it, verse 13. It says this, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's sad is that many Christians don't believe that right there. They don't live a life that communicates that they really believe that. I think many people have a I'm grown attitude. That's what I like to call it. They say, I've done enough, right? I've read my Bible plenty. I know enough about God. I've done my part in the past. You know, I've served in the church enough. I've gone to church enough. I'm good. I'm grown, right? That's the I'm grown attitude. Well, let me tell you, no matter how grown you may think you are here today, you're not reached the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. You're not that much like Jesus yet. We all need to grow. There's still work to be done on yourself. And notice what it says here at the beginning of verse 13. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Christ. Our goal as the church is for everyone to be mature. So if you are mature in Christ, if you are grown, right, you should be pouring into others and helping them reach maturity in the same way. And we constantly have new converts and children being born and raised in our church. The work is never done because of that. There's no outgrowing service to the body. There's no retirement or resignation from it. As long as you are a Christian and you fly the flag of Christ, say that you are a Christian, your job is to grow in Christ, fulfill your purpose, but also help those around you fulfill that purpose too. You who were once involved in this work, get involved again. We welcome you. You who have never been involved in this work, maybe you just come on Sundays, but I invite you to get involved in the ministry of the church. See what God is doing and get involved. It is such a privilege to do it, and you are welcome to do it. If you were coming to church on Sunday and just being a spectator, right? Listen to your sermon, that's all you do. You got to understand, I'm saying this with love, y'all. You're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not living the life that God wants you to live. Don't be a spectator. Instead, get involved in the game. That's my encouragement for you. You may be coming to church and feeding on every Sunday and feeding on a lot of good teaching, right? Maybe even going to Sunday school and you're feeding in, you're taking all this really good teaching in. But you know what happens when you're eating really good and you eat a lot of food, you take a lot in, but you don't ever work out, right? You get unhealthy. Right? It's not good for you. Do not be deceived, y'all. The time has always been now to grow and help others grow. It is your purpose. Why else? Why else is there an urgency to this? Number two is because maturity makes us safe. Not growing is dangerous. Everybody read with me at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So I know that there's a ton of conspiracy theories out there, right? You know the kind of people, the tinfoil hat sort of people who try to convince you that there's some sort of secret government behind the scenes, like world power government that's out to get you, or that there's aliens that are out to get you that are secretly behind the scenes, or sometimes both, that aliens run the government that's secret that is trying to get you, right? They'll have these outlandish theories and they'll try to convince you of it, right? And I heard this really wild conspiracy the other day from this guy on YouTube. He said, it goes something like this. He said, there's this one shadowy, unseen organization who's been secretly pulling the strings of society for a really long time, right? And he says the whole goal of this society, the whole goal of this society is to get the human race under its control without anybody knowing it. And it's a worldwide network, he was saying, that operates across cultures and different nations, and it's been operating for a really long time. And not only that, in this secret organization, there's one person at the head of it who directs many little secret agents to go around and influence the world's people to do his will. And of course, to cover his tracks, he made sure to mention that whenever people try to expose this organization, right, whenever they try to shed some light on this hidden society, oftentimes they're mocked and ridiculed, and very few people even believe them, right? They're treated like crazy people. Well, that crazy guy that I was listening to tell me about this was actually a preacher preaching from this verse right here. It says 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Wait, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's Orthodox Christianity, y'all. If you're a Christian, that's what the Bible says we should believe. Don't you know that this is a reality? It's not a conspiracy theory, but you actually have forces of darkness. You actually have people who are influenced by these forces of darkness who want to tear you down. It's not a conspiracy theory. You actually have Satan who is conspiring against you. If you are not maturing spiritually, you are in danger. He says here that the immature children are tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine, by human cunning. Doctrine are the things that we believe as a church. We have doctrine. And there's a lot of false beliefs out there in the world. And there's a ton of people who want to convince you of their false beliefs. They want you to believe the unbiblical things that they believe, and they will use cunning and craftiness and sophisticated arguments. They may even sometimes get scripture and twist it around to make you believe what they want you to believe. But how do we protect from bad doctrine? With better doctrine, with good doctrine. How do we tear down the alluring promises of the world that they may be offering us? With the better promises of God. You got to understand that spiritual maturity is inseparable from, as it said earlier, knowledge of the Son of God and knowing your doctrine. You got to know what you believe, y'all. Everyone, there's no way around it. You are a sitting duck for the prowling lion that is the devil and the deceitful schemes of the world if you don't know your Bible, y'all. If you aren't studying God's holy word, if you aren't growing into a theologian in your own right, if you aren't learning how to wield the sword of truth, you are in danger today. Why is the time now? Because you need to be strong in your doctrine in order to fight. And you need to keep learning and keep growing so that you can stay strong against all the deceitfulness and human cunning until the day that God takes you home. If you neglect it, you'll become weak. You won't be able to stand. Next, why should you care? Because maturity manifests unity and growth. Read with me starting at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So there's a lot of Pauline poetry here, and if I'm being honest with you, I had to go find the contemporary English Bible. I had to go to the baby Bible to figure out what this was, because it was kind of... So I'm just going to give you the Jaden translation about what I just read. It says this: we are to become more Christ-like as we speak the truth in love. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Jesus joins us together, and as we join together, each person does their part in the church, and we grow strong, and we grow up in love. Now let's start with this idea of speaking the truth in love. That's an interesting idea. This is what should characterize our growth in Christ. The way many people are matured is by the Word of God, which is truth, but all the truth that we learn, all this doctrine that we fill ourselves up with, must always be tempered by love. It must always be formed by love, must always be directed, must always be dipped in, must always be glazed. I don't know, a million things. Truth cannot be alone. For the Christian, truth and love must coincide. Sometimes the truth can hurt, y'all. Oftentimes the truth can hurt. Sometimes it isn't pretty whenever the truth of God's word confronts our sin. And the truth, whenever it's misused, can sometimes be used to beat people over the head, right? To tear them down. But if we are to build up and if we are to grow, we must always speak the truth in love. Instead of using it to beat, we should use it to build. You know, don't tell me you're spiritually mature if you don't know your doctrine, like I just said, number one. But also, don't tell me you're spiritually mature if you use your doctrine to beat down the weaker saints. We all have a ministry of love and encouragement to do until we grow up to into him who is the head, as it says here. A body part can't function properly if it's bruised or beaten or broken down. Whenever there is a spirit of love in everything that we do here as a church, each part of the body, which means each member of our church will be able to work properly. And it says here that once every part is working properly, we will begin to build ourselves up in love. But we all know this, that love is a mature thing. It's something that you have to grow into. Oftentimes, if we just look at the most immature among us, children, they're not very loving. You know, they may tell you the truth, but they won't say it in love. You know what I'm talking about, right? I used to teach fourth grade, and I got told things like this. Mr. Briscoe, you look like Megamind. They were just being honest. You know, I kind of looked at it, and I was like, maybe my head's not that big, but okay, a little bit. They said, Mr. Briscoe, your beard kind of looks like a pumpkin. I said, what? And then you can't unsee it. Once you see it, it's like a little stem, and then it goes like this. And I said, oh, man. And I used to wear these big old vintage frames, and one kid raised, you have serial killer glasses. And I said, thanks, buddy. Yeah. You know, they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you exactly what's true, make you see things that you can't unsee about yourself, yet it won't be in love. Others who are immature, they may know the truth, right? They may know the truth, but they tell themselves that they love you. They care about your feelings, so they won't tell you the full truth. Yet, to not tell someone the truth isn't love at all. Both are essential. Truth and love for the Christian must always go together. We're about to build a building. We're about to grow as a campus. But what business do we have doing that if we aren't growing in love and building one another up as a church? The purpose of the gifted evangelists and teachers and other people that God supplies, the purpose of the knowledge and doctrine that we gain, the purpose of our love is bodybuilding. As you see, not like this, but you know, like that. That kind of bodybuilding. So why is the time now to mature and grow up? Each one of us. Because our maturity fills our purpose, one. Because it keeps us safe among the dangerous schemes of the world and of Satan. And our individual maturity in love directly impacts our unity and health as a church. Do you want to be healthy as a church? Grow. As we move into this final time response and the worship team makes their way up here for the last song, I got to let you know in this room that this journey of maturity begins with calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and turning from your sins. If you have not done this yet, you've been falling for the schemes of the devil and tricks and you don't even know it. He wants to keep you away from God and he wants to keep you from fulfilling your God-ordained purpose. And you're never going to fulfill your purpose in life if you don't have Jesus Christ at the center. See the peril and the pointlessness of your situation, y'all. See your need today and turn to Jesus Christ. If you want to know how to do this, just come up to me after the service, find Chad, find one of our deacons, and just say these five words. I want to follow Jesus. Have you been feeling the call on your heart from God to come to his son, to put your faith in him? Do it today. But also, for those who have already put their faith in Christ, you know this song of response isn't just for singing, but it's also for prayer if you feel so led. It's also for reconciliation with someone in the body if you feel like you need to go to them. For those who've already called on God for salvation, are you growing in maturity? Are you growing in your knowledge every day, or is it just a Sunday thing for you? Are you exercising the truth and love, or have you been harsh? Have you taken a step back from your Christian walk and essentially retired or resigned from growing in Christ? Have you been stagnant and arrested your development? My encouragement for you during this time of response is to repent and make a change. If you need someone to walk you through how to make that change, how to start for the first time a relationship with Christ, come find me, come find Chad after this. Thank you all.
Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for Jaden's message. We feel convicted. Father, as we embark upon this building program. And we know things like this have tremendous capacity to make us argue, to make us fear, to steal our joy. Father, they can give the enemy a foothold. Father, I pray we would grow and we would mature, that we would be equipping one another, that we would have a desire for each person to grow in the knowledge of God. Father, that our words would always be truth and love, and that we could care for each other in new ways that we never even thought, that we could grow as a church and love as a church. And Father, all of that is driven by your great love for us. Because we are so loved, how could we neglect to love?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Thank you for bringing the word to us today. I really appreciated everything you said. Thank you. Isn't it nice to know when we need someone to fill in for me, he's better than me. It is what it is. Is that the truth in love? I don't know. But he's such a great preacher. It's just a great young man. He's doing a great job with our youth group. So just thank you, Jaden. And we're so proud of you and Mackenzie and having the baby, and it's been really sweet to see your family grow. Hey, got a couple of things I want to mention before we leave.